Hello, welcome to the Emmett Fox Friday Show here on the Cosmic Eye Show. I am Jason Napolitano, and on the line is Mr. Chris Sheridan. Chris, how are you?
I'm here, and I'm doing great, actually. Long day. The days are long, but the weeks are short lately. I don't know. It seems like we just did the Emmett Fox Friday a couple days ago.
It does seem like that, doesn't it?
Yeah. But so.
I'm telling you, man. And then also, the older you get, the faster time seems to go. I remember being young and thinking like, oh God, you know, it's going to be 6 weeks from now, you know, and it seemed like it was like 10 years, you know what I mean? Or 2 years sounded like, I don't know, it sounded like an eternity, didn't it? When you were like a teenager, like two years, you're going to have to wait 2 years for that, for your license or something. It's like, wow, 2 years now. I'm like, I could stand on my head for 2 years. Like, I'm like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
It's crazy stuff. Anyway, all right. So enough of that. Enough of our nostalgia. Let us jump into some Emmett Fox, as we said, since it is Emmett Fox Friday. So this, of course, comes from Find and Use Your Inner Power by Mr. Emmett Fox. And so Chris and I are going through this book each week with a little section of it. This week is called Take God for Your Partner, and Chris is going to start out, and I'm going to follow, and then we're going to discuss. So take it away whenever you're ready.
All right. Just another gem from our friend Emmett Fox, this book from the 30s. These little 1 to 2 page snippets coming from his very brief but extremely popular sermons. So today, take God for your partner. Why not organize the business of living in a big way? Why creep along, as some people do, from one tiny stepping stone to another, instead of striding out boldly? Why be content with poor health, uninteresting work, or restricted conditions when many other people have already risen above these things? There is a way out of limitation that never fails. It is simple. It calls for no formalities. It requires no money. It is obvious enough when you realize it, but it is strange how many people nevertheless overlook it. It is this: take God for your partner.
If you will really make God your business partner in every department of your life, you'll be amazed at the quick and striking results that you will obtain. I have said that this partnership will cost no money, but I did not say it would not cost anything. As a matter of fact, it will cost you a great deal, because the price will be your whole life, but it will be worth it. Of course, if you want God to be your partner, he will have to be the senior partner, and you will have to include him in every corner and in every phase of your life. If you are prepared to do this, the result will not be in doubt. Most people would be thrilled to be able to go into partnership with some great industrial or financial magnate that they would feel that their future was assured. But here is a partnership with infinite wisdom and infinite power awaiting you. Take God for your partner. Take God for your partner indeed. All right. So, but senior
partner. So senior partner,
exactly,
too. I like
senior
that.
Senior partner, which is.
Well, I've got God with me. It's like, no, you're with God. God's behind the wheel.
There you go.
You know, making decisions. Your job is to do your job. But I like that. I like how he distinguished that.
Huge. And I think that's a lot of times, like, you know, people talk about, you know, how they're, you know, being spiritually directed, or, you know, this or that information is coming to them or whatever, you know, and oftentimes it's amazing how that spiritual information that's coming to them from God or whatever, you know, suits their purposes and may not be what's best for everyone involved. You know, and then, you know, in those kinds of situations, you know, oftentimes you'll hear people, you know, talking about how, you know, God is on their side and this and that. But it's like, if you're truly, you know, if you're truly operating in this way that he's talking about, God's a senior partner, and you're being, you know, in a sense, you're just, you know, you're just following the dictates of the higher power, the higher self. And that's a different quality. It is a partnership.
But it is a partnership.
Certainly. You're doing, yeah.
It's not like he's the boss and you're the, you know, the lowly person on the totem pole. It is, you are business partners. You are partners in life, I guess. So there is that sense of being sort of equal, like you're in the same office basically. But he's the one behind the big desk.
That's a good call. So. He's the one behind the big desk indeed. You know, and it's interesting too, because I think you know, when you do start finding yourself in these situations where you do start allowing that infinite wisdom to kind of guide you, you know, you find that your life begins to flow much more easily, and things happen in ways that, you know, you hadn't quite imagined, and so on. But it's difficult. It's difficult because you've got to think in a different way. You've got to sometimes make choices that you wouldn't normally make because, you know, you're just impelled or compelled to do them. And, you know, it's something that that requires a lot of faith. So, you know, this is where it can be challenging. And you, the other side of it that, you know, is a difficult thing, I think, is, you know, getting the ego out of the way. You know, what I want to do. Well, I want to do this and I want to do that. And it's like, but you know, some higher source in yourself is like driving you. Sometimes, you know, you might feel in your conscience when you know that this is just not the right thing to do, but for some reason you just want to do it anyway because because you have to, you think you have to or something, and that ego is driving you. But in your mind, in your heart, you know, in your soul, there's a part of you that's going, you know, this is going to turn out horribly and you're not listening. But you, for some reason, you do it anyway. And I guess that's the way that God teaches us. It's like, okay, well, look, see, I showed you in this particular example, like, why, you know, you knew you shouldn't do that. You did it anyway. You didn't listen to me. And this is what happened, you know, and it's not to punish you, but it's to correct you. You know what I mean? And so I think that the better you get at that, the better that you get at listening for those sort of pangs and those kinds of like little hunches and feelings that just, you know, push you in a direction that kind of seems weird or different, or you choose to work with this guy, even though he doesn't have the big flashy sign and all the qualifications you think and all this stuff that you think is the right thing to do. But, you know, it kind of pushes you in that direction to say, work with somebody else that you might, on the surface, maybe they don't look like the best fit. But then it turns out like, oh, this is exactly the person that you needed to work with because you followed your instinct, your inner guidings. And those promptings come from God. I mean, sometimes they'll literally come in visions or, you know, through prayer, you'll have a really, you know, affirmative and definite answer. You'll have a dream that shows you exactly what you need to do or something like that as well. You know, so these kinds of knowings can come from different places, right? But I think as you get more sensitive, you get more kind of in touch with that part of yourself that can receive that information, don't you think?
Well, yeah, and you have to distinguish between what's, you know, maybe an emotional mm-hmm. reaction telling you to do something, or no, it's okay. You've been wronged every turn, and maybe it's your turn to, you know, do some taking advantage of. Or something,
yeah,
or
like you get over on somebody,
you know, tit for tat or something like revenge. That. Yeah. Well, you know, the life's been cheating you your whole life. Maybe it's okay for you to cheat a little bit too.
Sure.
Everyone else does it. And, you know, I think even St. Paul pointed this out, and Alan Watts was fond of quoting this, and I will do nothing less than butcher it. But it's that what I should do, that I do not, that what I know I should not do, that I do.
Yeah, I know that one. I think that's Paul. And you're pretty close. It's not a bad paraphrase.
Was I close?
I don't know the exact quote, but you're definitely in the ballpark, and you got the gist of it. You know,
but you know,
and you know
you should do it, and you don't, and you shouldn't do this,
exactly.
And that you do. So part of it we actually know. We don't have to do a lot of mystical outreach to get a vision from God, but. What I like to use as a shorthand, and it's an acronym for God, that, speaking of Fox, I learned in the sobriety program, 12 Steps, that it stands for good, orderly direction. So if it's good, am I doing the good thing? is this ordering? Is this, you know, a process? Or is this just chaotic, you know, spewing off of, you know, emotional content? And direction, is it haphazard? Is it going nowhere? Is it circling back? Or is there a plan? Is there a destination? Is there a goal in mind? So good orderly direction. I think that can be just a quick shorthand if what you're going to say, and what is good to say, is this going to create chaos or is it going to, you know, bring peace? And is this heading in the right direction or am I just taking the thing south? It can be a really quick way of maybe testing your hypothesis. If you're not sure where this voice is coming from, to see if it's G-O-D.
Yeah, exactly. I like what he says up here. And, you know, this is kind of appropriate for a lot of people's situations right now when he talks about how it's simple. It calls for no formalities. It requires no money. It's obvious enough when you realize, but it's strange how many people nevertheless overlook it. It is this: take God for your partner. So it's like, you know, he's pointing out the fact that this is something that, you know, is beyond like the, you know, I think, oh, I don't have the resources. I don't have the money. I don't have the partners supporting me in this business or whatever. But you know that there's something behind the scenes, something in the invisible world that is supporting you. You know, and the interesting thing is, too, is you really make God your business partner in every department of your life, you'll be amazed at the quick and striking results that you will obtain. You know, but again, he says it does cost something. It's not that it costs money, but it costs you a great deal because you're placing your hands in the life of the infinite. You know, and I think that requires, like I said, a great amount of faith. And oftentimes you'll have to make choices which seem sometimes to you contrary to the best of your own interest, I think. And I think that's where it becomes challenging. You know, you're asked to trust in it, or you have to expand your vision, or you've got to kind of put yourself out on a limb, or you got to put yourself out there in uncomfortable territory to make things happen and trust that, you know, God's got the net there when you go out and take that step. And so it requires some boldness, it requires faith, requires confidence, it requires following the inner promptings from the spirit. And all of that does come with a price, because, you know, the world will tell you, oh, well, you have to have an MBA and you have to have, you know, this much capital and you got to have good credit and you got to get an SBA loan to do it this way and that way. And if you don't have these licenses and this insurance, you're sure to fail. And if you fail, then someone's going to sue you. And you know what I mean? And that's the world telling you all of that stuff and all of that nonsense. And there, you know, look, those things are necessary at a certain point, but not when you're starting out. You know, you've got to trust in something bigger than yourself. So anyway, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Well, he goes on in the last paragraph, said most people would be thrilled to be able to go into partnership with some great industrial or financial magnate. They'd feel their future was assured. Or what if, you know, you're on, well, if I only got on Shark Tank and, you know, then I know I could launch my business, get one of those sharks helping me. Or I want Musk as my partner, and my invention's definitely going to get off the ground because he's a great engineer, or Apple to buy my product, or something like that. That there's, you would feel, oh gosh, yeah, whew, finally I got on this show, or now I have this mentor help that's in their interest too to make sure that I succeed. And that gets at the heart of what this partnership is, especially with a senior partner. What does a senior partner want to do with a junior partner? See him fail? No. He wants that junior partner to eventually be the senior partner and replace him if he's doing it in the old school. I don't know if it's old or new or people are still doing that. But when you really want to hand down you know, running the firm or being a, you know, advanced carpenter, and then you have a journeyman and an apprentice, and, you know, then they will be the master craftsman and they will teach the students. It's so. Every part of the role of the senior partner, as God as your partner, is to help you succeed. That's their job, actually. So, and how quickly we would listen to somebody from Shark Tank or you know, Elon Musk or somebody, like, they'd go, hey, whatever you say, dude, I'm there. I'm bells on, you know, I want to learn. And then you go, I can't fail. I've got this guy. I've got, you know, but wow, with God on your side, how can you fail?
And it's you're right about that. It's so true that, I mean, oftentimes we'll think that, you know, we'll put these kind of obstacles in our way, like, oh, I don't have a, you know, I don't have a strong partner, or, you know, another business support, or, you know, all these marketing dollars or this, that, or the other thing, this, you know, the sort of physical stuff, or, you know, an action or a person that can help you do this or that. You know, we think those things are so much more important than having this, you know, this spiritual foundation. And I think it's the other way around. You know, you have that spiritual foundation, you go to God as your senior partner, and then that other stuff will find you, or you'll find it in due time. Because, you know, this is one of these things, again, I always go back to, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, or and all else will be added unto you. You know, it's one of these things. It's like the big thing. You're going after the big fix, the macro. You know what I mean? And then the micro stuff falls into place once you've got the senior partner on your side. And it's like that's the inside job, you know, that you're doing, whereby you're getting right with God, as it were. You know what I mean? And I think most of us would think, well, no, I need to line up this capital, and I need to do this, and all that stuff's important. I mean, for business, or, you know, and it's not just business. I mean, this could be, you know, I want to buy a house, or I want to, you know, find a wife or a husband, and I want to start a family, or I want to start a church. I mean, all these things are, you know, fall into these categories. I want to be a better father.
I want to be a better father to my children.
Right?
You know,
it could be any endeavor.
It could be any. You need a partner for that too.
And, you know, and I like the idea too of, you know, of this father figure, because, you know, especially a lot of men in this country, you know, there is definitely a lack, we've talked about this before, of good, you know, constructive, positive role models for men, and strong, you know, constructive masculine energy. So, you know, again, if you want to, you know, you can look at God as, of course, God is, you know, without gender, but, you know, if you need that energy, that sort of more masculine side of that father energy, then use that father thing. If you need more of the gentle side, then you could think of God as mother, or, you know, or the goddess, or something like that. You know, God is bigger than any of our conceptions, and certainly beyond our ideas of gender and so on. And so, you know, you've got to kind of tap into what you need. But I like that idea of a father, especially for, you know, for some of the men that might need some extra strength that are out there and stuff. It does offer a powerful archetype. You know, so it's something to think about as well. So yeah, let's think about that last thing again, the last sentence there. Most people would be thrilled to be able to go into partnership with some great industrial or financial magnate. But here is a partnership with infinite wisdom and infinite power awaiting you. Take God for your partner. So, I mean, that's about it. That's the big partner you need, isn't it?
It is, and it's also an invisible partner. And I think that's where it gets hard. You can have a physical, tangible human being partner, and they, you know, being human, they might fail, as we're off to do. But it's something there. It's real. It's someone there you can call. And so it does. That's where that leap of faith comes in, that this, even though it's stronger, it's a little more distant. It's not quite as immediate, although it is immediate. It's even more immediate than trying to call a person. Just have to see it as that, as an energetic, as something that you're part of, that we're all part of. And why not God? Because if God, you know, from a dictionary definition, if you wish, you know, all knowing, all seeing, all powerful, all benevolent, runs the universe. And that seems to be working properly, as far as I'm concerned.
I mean,
I'm sure there's room for improvement, but, you know, I think it's going to run properly without me or my attitude, you know, or how I feel about this or that. So if nature, if the earth, if the solar system and the planets and the galaxies all operate under these universal principles, well, why not get in the flow of that for your earthly pursuit? Chances are it's going to work, because that's how the whole rest of the universe works. Why wouldn't No, I'm not going to try that. I'm going to try something else.
But it does require a shift, though, doesn't it? I mean, it comes, you know, it goes from an outer oriented sort of orientation to the world and an inner oriented one. in a sense, because in not that God isn't outside, because God is inside and outside simultaneously. You know, God is in who, you know, as Paul said, whom we live and move and have our being. But it's, you know, in a sense, you've got to shift your mind up to a degree, instead of, you know, thinking about how it's going to happen through, things are going to happen through certain channels. It's got to happen through, like you said, well, I've got to get Apple on my side and do this and do that and the other thing. And, you know, we're thinking of ways that we want it to happen or think that it should happen because we saw it on TV or we read it on the internet or heard it from our buddy. That's the way it works. And it's like, no, the senior partner's got a better plan, and you may not see it right at the moment, but it will unfold if you look to that senior partner for that guidance and that wisdom. And of course, you know, it takes prayer, it takes contemplation, meditation. You got to be open. That's the other side of it. You need to listen. You know, so often we're chattering in our own minds, trying to figure things out or trying to, you know, get online and do research about this or that and the other thing. We never take time to just listen. You know, and I've, you know, Yogananda said this, and I really think this is a great point. It's like, prayer is you talking to God or asking God for something, and meditation is you listening for the answer. And so, you know, you've got to have that sort of meditative quality to your mindset in order to hear what God is telling you. Be open to it. So, and that's going to about do it for us, unless you've got anything else you'd like to quickly add.
I would just underscore, I would second that receptive quality. That's still mind, open hand, open heart, and be receptive to the advice of this infinite wisdom when it comes. And that means you getting quiet.
That's it. And
so be quiet and
enlarge your vision. To get back to the first paragraph too, enlarge your vision. You don't need to creep along. You don't need to take one tiny little step after another. Stride out boldly, as he says, you know, enlarge your vision and you know, and then bring in your senior partner to help you achieve that vision. All right, well, that is going to do it for us tonight. It is Friday, and we wish you a great weekend. We're going to be back on Sunday with a new show. Chris's book is The Spirit in the Sky. Mine is If You Can Worry, You Can Meditate, and you can reach us at chrissheridan.com or at cosmiceye.org. Thank you for listening tonight. We really appreciate you guys. Have a great couple of days before you hear us again on Sunday. Goodbye, and God bless.